Live from the greatest city, the greatest state, on the greatest country in the... On the second... I'm done with this. I don't know why I've been doing this all week. Trey's gone. It's the greatest country in the solar system. It's the greatest planet in the solar system. Whatever. We're in America. It's Friday. I'm happy. Ready to get up to Big 12 Media Days in Frisco on Monday and Tuesday. Trey Elling will be back then. But of course, the show goes on. Friday the 13th edition of the midday program right here on the Horn. 104.9 AM 1260, 101.9, streaming live all the time, 24/7, when and wherever you may be, on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. In the house, of course, behind the glass, making it happen, making sure everything goes okay and that we stay on air for 3 hours each and every weekday. Adam Wagner Wax, what's going on, sir?
What's going on, man?
I don't know, man. I'm on one
Ship's
today.
Ship's going down.
Ship is going down. Somehow we're still on the air after 5 days of this. But filling in for Trey Elling today, another upgrade, another great guest, somebody better than Trey. We've got Jeff Howe from Horns 24/7, 247 Sports. Also co-host the Longhorn Blitz podcast.
Yes, thanks for the plug, BK. Appreciate that.
Yes, of course. You guys do great work. Y'all have for a long time.
Thank you. No, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, whatever, however you get your podcast. Myself, Rod Babers, Matt Butler, bringing you Texas football talk once a week for roughly an hour. Maybe we'll go longer, maybe shorter, depending. We're actually going to get back into longer podcasts now that we'll actually have stuff to talk about.
So get
our archives always on the Longhorn Blitz SoundCloud page. If you're a SoundCloud guy, find us on SoundCloud. We've got all kinds of interviews up there. We've had Lamar Houston, Earl Thomas, Jordan Shipley, all kinds of interviews over the years.
Now, you guys roll every week, even during the offseason, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, BK, we were discussing the challenges of being in the media industry, especially here in Austin, where, and I mean, you, at least you've got, you know, Major League Baseball, you've got some avenues you can go in. I've got the Longhorns, and that's it. You know, nobody's coming to my site to read about the NBA offseason, free agency, or Major League Baseball. It's all Texas all the time. So you got to get really creative with your content in June. But I always tell myself, look, if I can just make it to Big 12 Media Days, and we're there. 50 days to kick off. Media Days starts Monday. So we're there, man. We made it.
We're close.
Freaking made
we're
it.
Close. We're close, man. I can't wait. We're 43 days away from college football, actual college football returning. You mentioned it, though, 50 days away from Texas and Maryland. Should be fun. Now, I've always been curious, is it? Horns 24/7 or 247?
Horns 24/7, 24/7 Sports.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? Yeah. I always hear 247 everywhere, and I was like, the whole bit is that it's 24/7 coverage, right?
Yeah, there's all, you know, people get it mixed up all the time. But yes, that's how to not, you know, get under my skin, just 24/7 Sports.
Good to know right there. Now, it is Friday the 13th. Jeff, does that mean anything to you? Are you superstitious with this so-called holiday?
Not one iota.
Not at all?
No.
Superstitious in general? I mean, when you're watching sports, you got some of that going on?
You know, actually, here's a superstition that was proven true during baseball season. Every home game I cover for the Longhorn baseball team, they won when I took a certain route to the ballpark.
How about that?
I had to get off on 35 and, you know, do the Holly Street exit, kind of take my back road, go down, I think it was Navasota, to Comal. So I had to take my certain path. And when I did that, I was undefeated on that route to the ballpark.
Well, thank you for doing that. We appreciate your service to the team this year. It was a great ride. So next year, you got to do the same thing, right?
Unless it doesn't work, then I got to find a new route that does work. So that's how those things work.
Love it. Love it. Jeff Howe in the house. I'm with you on the whole Friday the 13th bit. I mean, my life changes.
Are you a scary movie guy?
BK? Not really.
I'm not either.
I was in fifth grade. I spent the night at a buddy's place, and I watched The Ring 2, and The Grudge in the same night. And I couldn't sleep for weeks, and that just kind of ruined everything for me. That
they just don't really do anything for me.
What is this? Are you playing some? What is this? It's like Friday the 13th. Yeah, I've never even seen any of the Friday the 13th movies.
It's been years.
It's freaking me out though, Wags. I don't know if I like that stuff.
Like Jason Goes to Camp, or is that Ernest? Or I don't know. I get them all mixed
up. Ernest Goes to Camp, man. But Jason does kill people in camp.
Jason does kill
people
great.
In camp.
Well,
I'm not going to that camp. I don't want to see that.
Was I kind of on the right path, Wags? Okay.
There you go. Well done. So Jeff Howe in the house today, rolling until 1. We'll talk a lot of Texas Longhorn football. In a minute, we'll get into the preseason Big 12 media poll, which was released yesterday.
I didn't get a vote in that this year. Thanks a lot, Big 12, for sending me my ballot.
How does that work? I mean, what do I have to do to get a vote, right?
So you're going to media days. You didn't get a ballot either.
No. No one ever told me anything about this. What is this?
Bunch of slappies in that conference office.
I'm telling you, man, because I'd be the guy who votes for Kansas to win the Big 12.
You would.
There'd be like a Kansas They got all last place votes, but they have one in parentheses. Exactly.
Like, who's the slappy that gave Kansas a first place vote?
It's not a slappy. This is the year where they win two games.
Two, that's pushing it, BK.
I was about to say, if you ever see Kansas favored, which they were actually favored four times last year in Vegas, you go the other way.
I'm so glad Texas goes to Lawrence this year so that way they can erase that whatever that was 2 years ago I was unfortunately there for.
Oh, the worst day in the history of this storied Texas football program.
The worst was sitting pretty much the distance between us right now, BK, is how close I was sitting to Charlie Strong in the postgame press conference. And you just, like, he knew at that point.
He knew. That was a disaster. Well, you never know, man. I mean, David Ash one time struggled up in Lawrence. Case McCoy, the greatest American hero, had
I'll
to come
say
in
this,
and save
man,
the day.
Kansas has the most underrated, I've said this for years, Kansas has the most underrated home field advantage in the Big 12. Because if you go there for an 11 o'clock game, there's nobody in the stands, there's no juice, you don't respect them. It's the ultimate home field advantage.
They've been close just about every year to pulling off a massive upset, and they got Texas a few years ago. Sorry to bring that one up.
They almost got TCU the year TCU won the Big 12.
They almost got TCU. They almost got West Virginia there last year. It's sometimes close when you go up to Lawrence, but no, they are terrible. Next year, though, I got to get on the preseason poll. I got to start voting for this stuff. It's not fair. We're not a part of this deal.
But, you know, that's how three Texas Tech guys get on the first team all Big 12 preseason team. Because I'll tell you how it happens, man. People just grab, like, a Dave Campbell's Texas football or your Phil Steele, your Athlon or whatever. Yep. And they say, okay, let's look at returning leaders for interceptions. That guy. There's my five defensive backs right there.
That's a lazy research right there. So we'll start there, I guess, before we get to the poll. I know you came on with the afternoon guys yesterday and did a little conversation regarding the preseason all Big 12 team. Right. Only two Longhorns, of course, Breckenhager and Chris Boyd, both on the defensive side of the football, making the cut. Did that surprise you at all? And if there were another one or two Longhorns on this preseason team, where would you be looking?
Two guys deserving, no question. You can make it. There's three guys you can make a case for. You can make a case for Charles Omenihu if you're doing a preseason. If your mentality is these guys are going to have the biggest and best seasons, Charles Omenihu makes a lot of sense from that standpoint. Malcolm Roach, I think, kind of from the same standpoint, but I just look at a guy that probably, and we can get into this, BK, because I've got today, I'm working on it right now, I'm almost done, it'll probably be up around noon. I've got 50 things I'm thinking about with the Longhorns, 50 days remaining until kickoff.
Love it.
And I've got a couple left to jot down before I publish that. But, you know, I wrote in there, Malcolm Roach is probably the most indispensable piece in the defensive front because how much value he gives you as a depth chart filler. He can play any of those three primary linebacker positions, and if you wanted him to, if you needed him to, he can go back to defensive end and be productive for you there. So I think him, in terms of value, you can make a case for him. And you can make a really good case for Gary Johnson, not just what he did from a productivity standpoint, but go back and look at when Malik Jefferson really elevated his play. I think a lot of that had to do, and this is taking nothing away from Malik and the kind of player he is, I think a lot of that had to do with Gary Johnson's presence and pushing him and the fact that you combine a guy that pound for pound is probably the fastest guy on the team with as physical as he plays.
Now,
Gary Johnson, to me, is as valuable of a part to this defense as, you know, Jordan Hicks was to those defenses when he was at Texas. When Jordan Hicks was on the field healthy and locked in, those defenses were really good. When he wasn't there, things kind of fell apart. I think Gary Johnson could be that piece that kind of ties it all together for Texas.
I'm with you 100%. He might be the signal caller of this Texas defense this year in the middle on that defensive side of the football. And I'm with you on Malik Jefferson. I mean, offensive lines and offenses couldn't focus all of their coverage, all of their schemes on blocking Malik Jefferson and taking him out of the play. Then you had to focus on Gary Johnson, a guy who already came in with some college football experience. He made an impact right away. How's that groin? How are you feeling about the Gary Johnson injury?
I mean, as long as it's not an issue early in camp, I think they've seen him get through those first few workouts. And I know Tom Herman will address it next week and probably tell us that he's been going through workouts and he's fine. But I think once he puts the pads back on, as long as he gets through those first few workouts and it's not a lingering issue, then I think he'll be fine.
Should be smooth sailing right there. Yeah, I'm with you on Gary Johnson, perhaps deserving to make the cut. No offensive players for the University of Texas. No real shock there, huh?
No, I mean, it's correct. The one guy you can really make a case for is Colin Johnson, but this league, we know how good this league is at wide receiver, even with the talent that's gone, the talent that comes back. You got that in front of you, BK?
I've got it. You've got Denzel Mims from Baylor,
right.
Hollywood Brown from OU, and David Sills from West Virginia.
I don't even think they put the right OU guy in there. I would have voted CD Lamb. Yeah. I think CeeDee Lamb's the best OU has this year. But you see what you're talking about. I mean, it's a loaded league at wide receivers, so it's tough for Colin Johnson to get in there. Maybe somebody could have voted for Patrick Vahe, but I, you know, and I'm, again, this is something I'm sure we'll talk about today. I've got to see Patrick Vahe and Zach Shackelford play the way you would expect multiple year veteran guys that have started a lot of games to play. Those guys need to elevate their, because this offensive line has a chance to be solid from left tackle to center with Calvin Anderson, Patrick Vahe, and Zach Shackelford. But we'll get into expectations for Anderson, but I think a lot of that has to do with Vahe and Shackelford getting their play to a certain standard and maintaining that on a consistent basis. Well,
especially considering how good both of those dudes looked in their first years on campus.
Right.
I mean, some people were projecting, all right, by the time Pat Vahe is a senior, he either A, will be in the NFL, or B, will be like an All-American type of contender, let alone All-Conference. That was a guarantee.
I mean, they're both guys that clearly have things they do really well. They both clearly have things they struggle with.
Yeah.
If you can just kind of balance it out and get to in the middle, meet in the middle somewhere, I think you've got two really solid pieces up front.
We'll see. That's definitely an area that Texas needs to improve in 2018. All right, Jeff, the news that broke yesterday after this program got off the air, the preseason poll came out. And, of course, to the surprise of very few, Oklahoma at the top, the three-time defending champions in the Big 12 Conference. And after that, it was kind of a crapshoot for me, right? Anything from 2-7, maybe even 2-8 could have been up in the air with this Big 12. But it is West Virginia that gets the nod at second. TCU, Texas, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Baylor, and Kansas. So the Longhorns sitting there sort of in the middle, smack dab at fourth place in the Big 12 Conference. They did receive one first-place vote. Something tells me it was probably someone who covered the University of Texas, maybe someone who works with you. I cannot confirm nor deny.
Or Anthony Geronimo, if you're listening.
Oh, is he getting a vote?
I'm looking at you, Ant.
He counts as two. He should count as two votes right there. But Texas at fourth. What's your take, I guess, Jeff, on the overall preseason media poll? Do you think the media got this right?
As right as you can get it. I mean, look, anywhere from Texas could have been slotted anywhere from 2-6, and I'd have been like, okay, that makes sense. Oklahoma's the best team in this league until they prove otherwise or other teams make them prove otherwise, I should say,
right,
if that makes any sense. But I really think there's five teams, Texas, Oklahoma State, TCU, West Virginia, Iowa State. I think those five teams are in that next group, and they're all kind of jumbled together. I see all those teams as being anywhere from like 7-5 to 9-3 type teams. I think this is going to be one of those years in this league, man, where there's a lot of – there aren't, and I don't think, any great teams, but there's a lot of good teams, and I think you're almost going to cannibalize each other to where I think that's why the Big 12 is going to get left out of the playoff, because you're probably going to have maybe a 2, maybe a 3 loss league champion by the time it's all said and done, and a lot of, you know, teams in that 7, 8, 9 win range, maybe nobody at 11 or 12, but I think a lot of good teams, maybe not any great teams.
All right, you just mentioned, I mean, it doesn't appear that there's a clear-cut favorite in the Big 12. Are you at all surprised by the fact that of the, what, 52 first-place votes handed out by the media over the past couple of days, are you surprised Oklahoma got as many as 46 of them?
No, because I think that's just giving that program the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
And Kansas State was a team that I should have put in that mix as well for 16, because K-State was 6th, right?
Right.
Okay, just circle that, because everybody's going to be wrong about that by the time we get to November. Everybody's wrong about K-State every year. If I was filling this out, which, again, thanks Big 12 Conference for sending me my ballot.
Come on, man.
If I was filling it out, I probably would have had K-State at 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Behind Oklahoma.
Okay. I'm a big believer in Bill Snyder being able to figure it out on defense. And I think they probably got the best offensive line in the conference, with Alex Delton at quarterback and Alex Barnes at running back. That's a typical kind of grind it out, pound you in the mouth K-State offense. I don't know what they're going to do at receiver, but chances are they'll probably figure it out. It's basically me giving Bill Snyder the benefit of the doubt that whatever deficiencies they have, they're probably going to be able to figure it out.
No doubt about it. The old ball coach, he keeps finding ways to get it done up there. I credit the Taco Bell, man. I think that's his secret to success. He always talks about going to Taco Bell every once in a while.
Because you're
going to
be up there this year. The fan base of this show, of the Midday Show, they need to hear you and Coach Snyder have a conversation about Taco Bell.
Oh, that'd be great. I'm looking forward to that.
Like, what do you, like, I know his go-to is, like, just the bean burrito and a water, right?
Yeah, that's classic Bill Snyder.
Which is
right
like
there.
The I'm broke in college and found like $1.80 laying on the couch cushion.
In Manhattan, Kansas, that should last you a couple of weeks.
$1.80. Exactly. So, but I want to know, BK, if you can introduce Coach Snyder. Like, I don't know, what's your go to at?
Should I just like bring a whole truckload of Taco Bell items? We'll do a little like food test.
Yeah, like the Doritos Locos taco or whatever.
I hope he's had one of those before. If not, he's missing out. That's what saved Taco Bell. You think he should know that? I don't know, though. We'll see. I'm looking forward to that conversation.
You had a colonoscopy yet, BK?
Not yet.
CGC, okay. Man. You got to go with the CGC.
How many of those are you allowed to have? How many colonoscopies is one? Because I'm going to need probably 400 of them just to make sure we're okay.
I've had one. Just go in there. If you got some stuff going on, they just go in there and check it out for you.
I don't want to do that.
I mean, they put you to sleep, you know. It's not like you feel anything.
Hey,
I'll tell you. Can I give a quick colonoscopy story? Do we have time, real quick?
Absolutely.
So I'm going in to get one done. It was like 2 weeks before signing day in 2015, and they're like they've started the IV. They're wheeling me in, and as they're putting me on the table, like they're you know because you have the conversation with the nurse and the doctor. Oh, what do you do? Oh, yeah. So as they're putting me on the table, the doctor says, "So, think Kyler Murray ends up at Texas?" I'm like. Doc, I'm really not concerned at all about where Kyler Murray ends up right now.
This is not what I want to talk about right now. No. Let me just get this over with, please.
Not while I'm wearing this flimsy gown and nothing else.
Yeah, no, thankfully I have not had to deal with
that. And you're about to root
yet.
Around inside me with a camera to see what's going on. I'm not too concerned at all about
Kyler
Murray.
I'm sure I want
to
do that. I'll just take my chances. I'll just take my chances with what happens. If I go, well, it was time for me to go. It's as simple as that. Not looking forward to that. But it should be fun up there. You know, for me, I've been picking Oklahoma to win this conference. It's kind of the same thing you just mentioned, right? Until I see otherwise.
Yeah.
It seems more up for grabs than it has been in the past. And, of course, the Sooners have lost a ton of talent. They're losing the Heisman winner in Baker Mayfield. They're losing weapons on the offensive line. They're losing some defensive players. It's weird. I know Mike Stoops in Oklahoma is not known for its defense, and they haven't really been for the last half decade or maybe even longer than that. But it's weird looking at this preseason all-conference team and not seeing one Oklahoma Sooner in there on the defensive side of the football. So they obviously have some issues, at least on paper, that they're going to have to overcome. And hell, everybody assumes Kyler Murray is going to be the quarterback, as do I. But Lincoln Riley says, look, this is an open race right now. Austin Kendall is very impressive. He might have the better arm of the two quarterbacks there at Oklahoma right now. I think when it's all said and done, it is going to be Kyler Murray, but you'll have
Lincoln
questions.
Lincoln Riley can say whatever he wants, but it's going to be Kyler Murray.
But you'll have questions, right? It's what about baseball, right? At some point, if Oklahoma loses two games relatively early on, does Kyler Murray say, you know, to hell with this, it's not worth risking an injury when I've already signed a contract to go play Major League Baseball, my future's over there. I mean, Oklahoma does have some on-paper questions that could lead to the end of their
rant.
Here's the only
way that quarterback discussion in Oklahoma gets interesting. If Austin Kendall just is lights out in camp, does Lincoln Riley decide, why don't I just roll with the guy who's going to be here for a couple years rather than the guy that I've only got for 1 year?
Right. Let him start building.
That's the only way it gets interesting.
Yeah.
But until that happens, it's going to be Kyler Murray. But you talk about giving OU the benefit of the doubt. It's Lincoln Riley as a play caller, number one, and just him as an offensive mind. And then look at their skill talent, man. We just talked about, you know, Hollywood Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Rodney Anderson. I mean, I know they lose Andrews and some other, and Demetri Flowers, a guy that I liked a lot, but I mean, tell me a year where they've been like notably better in this current decade than they are this year at the skill position.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there is one. They've had a ton of great players come through there at the wide receiver spot and guys who worked well with Baker Mayfield, guys like Sterling Shepard and who am I forgetting? They had one more receiver who went off to the NFL, was drafted pretty high, who had great years for them. But you're right. I mean, the talent around whoever's going to be the quarterback, assuming Kyler Murray is there.
I think CeeDee Lamb is a stud, man. I think the media got it wrong. That's the OU receiver I would have voted for. I think that guy is going to emerge as the best receiver in the conference
I think that's your prime research right there on why or on how media just kind of looks at the athletic sports or the Phil Steele magazines. You know, Hollywood Brown led the team in receiving yards out of all the returning receivers for Oklahoma. I'm with you. CeeDee Lamb is a stud right here from Texas. He's going to be great up there. And look, Lincoln Riley, that's the guy I give the benefit of the doubt to. I mean, we'll see. This could be a tough year too for him. Obviously losing Baker Mayfield, who has been the leader of that program for the last few years, but that dude is an offensive mastermind.
Heard him speak at a clinic last summer. Todd Orlando was at the same clinic in San Angelo, and just watching him go through some of their passing game with how they use the backs and how they use, you know, slot receivers and tight ends, and you're just like, wow, like this guy gets it. Man, there's a reason why NFL teams are going to Norman this offseason to figure out what he does, to get an idea of, hey, how do you get your backs this involved in the passing game? How are you this good with figuring out how to use your tight end and creating mismatches?
Oh, I've gone out and said it. If and when the Dallas Cowboys let go of Jason Garrett, which is hopefully sooner rather than later, Lincoln Riley's my first phone call.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad call.
I'm telling you, I don't know if he has any interest in spurning the college game and moving to the NFL at some point, but with what that guy puts together on offense, Oklahoma is set to be in prime position to compete once again for the Big 12. All right, you have K-State number two, Jeff. You know, West Virginia was number two in terms of the entire media poll. What's your pulse on the Mountaineers this year? Everybody's talking about their offense and Will Grier.
Yeah.
Do you think they have a good enough defense to compete in this year's conference?
We talk about, you know, what you can bank on from teams and giving teams the benefit of the doubt and what history has shown. Until West Virginia proves that they can get through November without losing a game or two, they really have no business losing, then I'm not going to pick them higher than fourth or fifth in the league.
Wow. Haven't we heard every year since West Virginia's come to the Big 12, like, this is the year. This year's different. We're gonna compete. We're going to be in the Big 12 title game, and it just hasn't happened yet.
I mean, they were a couple of years ago, they were a really bad home loss, I think, on the last weekend of the season to K-State away from being a 10-win team.
They just let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, Dana Holgorsen's a hothead. He wears his emotions on his sleeve, focuses on offense perhaps a little bit too much. But
I mean, heck, how different is their year if they beat Texas last year?
Yeah. You know, it's that Will Grier injury really hurt them down the stretch.
And granted, that's something, you know, that's a freak deal. You can't fault anybody for that.
Gross.
But again, until they get through November, you mentioned it. I mean, I remember a November where they started out hot and ended up losing to Kansas, a Charlie Weiss coached Kansas team. Late in the year.
Charlie Weiss was there, huh? I try to forget about those days.
Still waiting on that schematic advantage, huh, BK?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I think they're still paying that dude, too, which is great. He did great things up in Lawrence.
I actually think we have time. We have time, Wanks. Can I tell my Charlie Weiss story here real quick? So I think it was his first year at Kansas. I was up at Media Days, and I'm doing a story on you know, personnel departments. That's when, like, player, you know, Saban had the personnel department beefed up at Bama. That was just starting to become a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking different coaches, you know, like, what, you know, what's your plan? How are you going to do it? And I'm asking Charlie Weiss about it, and he stops me, like, mid-question. He goes, well, let me ask you something. He goes, where did Nick Saban learn probably everything he knows about coaching football? He's like, probably from Bill Belichick. He's like, right. And who did I work for at the Patriots? I'm like, Bill Belichick. He goes, well, there you go.
No way.
That was it.
That really happened?
I'm like,
he just compared himself to Nick Saban right there.
Like, I'll figure it out.
Wow.
Like, okay, well, that was enlightening.
I would have punched him in the face if he would have said that, honestly. I don't care if it would have cost me my media credentials forever. That's unbelievable.
Never has someone done so little to earn so much.
You're right. You're absolutely right there. All right, Jeff Howe in the house, horns 24/7. Make sure you get that one right. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff Howe 247. We're taking a break. We've got a great show today. We will talk the rumors, and apparently there's some truth to these rumors. Art Briles could be coaching once again in the state of Texas.
That chatter is real, man.
It's almost frustrating to think about, let alone actually speak the words. We'll get into that. We'll talk some more Texas Longhorn football, the expectations for the 2018 season. And I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission. The president was on a mission to make America great again. We got to do something on the 40 acres to make DKR great again. We'll talk about that a whole heck of a lot more. It is a Friday show. Midday with Trey and BK. Jeff Howe in for Trey. You're listening to The Horn. Led Zeppelin to bring you back on a Friday the 13th. Be careful out there. I don't know. Jeff and I already said we're not superstitious. Wags, what about you, man? Friday the 13th, does that scare you a little bit?
Nah, man. We used to drink to these movies.
Yeah. I don't mean the movies. I mean the days themselves.
I'm not superstitious, man. Yeah. Everybody's got a plan, right?
Walking under ladders and no problem with seeing black cats, nothing like that.
No, I won't step on a crack, though. That's
really?
Yeah, but got to look out for mom, man. Can't be breaking mama's back.
Sometimes
what's the one about the black cat? You just can't let a black cat cross your path?
don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, what do you? How do you avoid that?
I've got a black cat in the house, so it's pretty hard for me to avoid.
You're in trouble. Your whole life might be in trouble, it sounds like. I don't know how it works. I don't get these life superstitions. Just another day to me. And it's a great day.
Especially when it's in the morning and it's time to eat and that fat, hangry monster's like knocking me over on his way to the kitchen to get to the food bowl.
Oh, big cat, we're talking.
Well, I mean, he's not supposed to be. He's probably like 14, 15 pounds.
All right.
We try to get him outside to exercise a little bit, BK. Like, I'm one to talk about people being overweight and not managing themselves well. But, especially right now in the summertime, you try to let the cat out and exercise. He gets one, wave of that heat, and he's, boom, back to the door.
Back inside.
Yeah, yeah. He's not having it.
I don't think, Kevin Dunn's got the two fattest cats, I'm convinced, in the entire world.
Yeah.
Those things don't move.
I had a cat sit for a friend one time who had, a 22 or 23-pound cat.
Mm, it's big.
Yeah.
That's big. All right, welcome back to the show. Jeff, it is National French Fry Day. Are you I don't know anyone who's not a French fry fan.
Well, here's the deal. There's some burger spots where you might go with the onion rings instead of the fries.
That's fair.
You know?
It's no wrong choice.
Yeah, it's nothing against fries. Just I'll give you a shout out to the folks at Hayes City Store.
Oh, man.
It's my favorite burger in the greater Austin area. I will go. Nothing wrong with their fries, but I will go onion rings over the fries.
How far do you live from Hayes City Store?
10 minutes.
See, I live about 50 minutes from there. And my roommate, Hayes City Store always, for the Donate Life Apple Leasing Golf Tournament every year, they're always out there cooking up burgers and serving fries and everything. And one of my roommates had it this year. He was playing in the tournament. And every day I kid you not, Jeff, every single day we debate whether or not we're going to drive 50 minutes down to
Hayes. Do it, man. That bacon blue burger is worth the trip, man.
Oh, but it's so far and it's rush hour, but it'll happen. It'll happen.
Hey, you're all fries. Do you all put gravy on them? Do you enjoy gravy on fries?
Now, I haven't made the trip to Chicken Express. So if you're talking fast food chicken strips, Chicken Express is the spot. So
it's a good spot.
I haven't been there. It's been a while since I've had Chicken Express. But if I'm on the road, I would dip the fries in the gravy.
Is there a Chicken Express anywhere close? I mean, one time in college, a couple times in college, I would drive out to Lake Travis. That was the closest Chickenee. And I would go and it was too good to not make the trip.
Got one right down the road from me and Kyle.
Okay. Ah, it's south. That's where all the food is, it sounds like, these days. I know up in the Metroplex there's a lot of Chicken so I'll be hitting that. I'm trying to think best French fries spots in Austin. That was a topic of conversation on the morning show. A lot of people were saying Hop Dotties, fast food spots. People still love the McDonald's fries. The Whataburger fries are always classic. Some good choices out there.
Whataburger, Mighty Fine.
Mighty Fine, the Five Guys burgers and fries.
Five Guys is up there too, yeah.
You pay for that one.
You're talking
about
the fast food fries.
You pay for that one for Five Guys. But send your text if you got them. National French Fry Day. Always good stuff right there. All right. Some Texas Longhorn football. Look, I did a little bit of research. Before the show.
Hey, Wags, real quick, since it is French Fry Day, can you at some point get us some Sling Blade talking about eating French fried potatoes? Can you find that for us, maybe?
From the movie?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
Billy Bob.
You've never seen it, BK?
Of course not. Okay. If it's a movie,
it's close enough, Wags.
It's fair that I haven't seen it.
Great. I'll give you an A for effort.
Billy Bob Thornton talking about French fries.
Yeah.
I'm down for that.
Proceed, BK. Sorry, right. I got us off track.
That was good.
Bit.
That's anytime you bring up a movie, everybody else knows what you're talking about, and I don't. So you're doing well. All right. I did a little research before the show. Believe it or not, I was doing some reading today on the internet. I'm not sure if that really counts as reading, but. The Longhorns.
He's got his phone out, folks. It's not like BK's reading, e-books or anything.
No, don't be ridiculous. E-books. People read those. All right. The Longhorns have struggled over the last 8 years. I don't think I'm breaking any news.
No.
Didn't need to do a whole lot of research to tell you that. But the struggles for Texas have really taken place here in Austin and at DKR. And, it's... should be one of the best home field advantages in the country, right? It's top 10 in terms of seating capacity. Texas football is obviously a storied program. Historically, the Longhorns have fared very well at Darrell K. Royal Texas Memorial Stadium. But over the last 8 years, there's all kinds of numbers and stats and positions and things you can look at to sort of explain how and why this program has struggled as much as it has. Well, here's this. Over the last 8 years, since 2010, when the demise of this program began, at home, the Longhorns are 26-22. 26 up, 22 down. That's basically 500 right there in Austin. The previous 8 years, we're going 8-year sample sizes. So from 2002 to 2009, the Longhorns lost a total of 4 games here in Austin. How about that?
2002 to 2009.
That 8-year stretch.
That would have been Arkansas at home in 2003. That would have been Ohio State and A&M in 2006 and K-State in 2007.
That's it. Over an 8-year stretch, they lost 4 games in Austin. And over the past 8 years, the last 8-year stretch, they have lost 22 games in Austin. They have not finished better than 4-2 at home. They haven't even gone 5-1, let alone going 6-0 one season at DKR over the last 8 years. That's hurtful stuff. So I'm on a mission, right? Okay. Last year it was Jordan Shipley. We're talking about this before the show, and it kind of got some traction. Everyone was on a mission to make Texas football great again. There were hats, there were shirts. We're all still on that mission. There's no doubt. But we need to. We got to make DKR great again.
Let's start with natural grass on the field.
You think that'll help?
Man, there's Wags. You can correct me if I'm wrong here. To me, like, there's just something a little more gritty about a stadium when you're playing on natural grass. Like turf, it just seems like we're talking about this before the show, BK, so let's get it out there for the people. Like, it just seems like, you know, when you go to any other road environment in the Big 12, it's almost a feeling of, gosh, I can't wait to get the heck out of here. Now, part of that sometimes is because, you know, if you go to Stillwater or Lubbock at night, you know, they can be intimidating road environments. Sometimes it's like, dude, I'm in Ames, Iowa. I just want to go home. Get out of here as fast as possible.
City sucks. Let's go.
But it's like when teams come to DKR to play games, say, like, hey, it's Austin. Let's hang out for a few days, man. Let's be comfortable. And, you know, people here are hospitable, and it's not a bad place for fans to travel. So there's just something that seems really cushy about teams coming to play a road game at Texas.
No doubt. No doubt about it. And I've said this for as long as I've been in Austin. Look, for the most part, even over the past few years, Texas is still getting 90,000-plus at the games at DKR. And there's been plenty of sellouts over the past few years as well. I don't know how it's possible for 90 to 100,000 people to make as little noise as what's made at DKR. And it's funny, right? Because you'll have the students blaming the alumni for not standing up throughout the game and not making noise. And you'll have the alumni blaming the students for being quiet and being on their phones the entire time. You know, some people will say, oh, it's because the students are all spread out all over the place. There's not one real student section. People will say this. People will say that. But it's generally, for as long as I've been in Austin, Texas, 6-7 years, not a difficult place to go and play.
No.
Like, I get so angry about this. The loudest cheer of almost every game that I've ever been to at DKR is a commercial in between the third and the fourth quarters. The what starts here, Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
That commercial with the tower, that is the loudest cheer of almost every Texas football game I've been at. And I wish that was exaggeration. I wish that was hyperbole. I wish that was me just trying to have a hot take. That's not the case.
You know, but this goes to before this. I mean, you can count, people that have been going to games for a long time can count, and they don't need all their fingers on both hands to count the number of times where that stadium was really rocking. I mean, you'll hear people talk about the 1990 game against U of H. You know, you'll hear the 08 game against Missouri. You might hear a couple of A&M games mixed in there. We were talking about the Notre Dame game was one of the coolest atmospheres since I've been going to Texas games ever that I've experienced.
It's awesome.
West Virginia in 2012, where it really felt like a hostile road environment.
Those are the only two games since I've been here for 7 years, and I've gone to almost every home game. Those are the only two where it actually felt like a difficult place to win for a road opponent.
Right.
And I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, I'm sure from 2000 to 2009 when this team was winning football games, every game was selling out and people were louder, and there was a whole heck of a lot more to cheer about. I get that. But we got to make this place great again. We got to make it tough to win at DKR. Less advertising, less commercials during the timeouts perhaps would help. I know Chris Del Conte's on a mission with the whole Bevo Boulevard bit and trying to get more people in and around the stadium hours before kickoff versus just walking in as the ball is already in play on the first drive of the game. We got to find ways to make this stadium tough to win, because a 500 record pretty much over the course of 8 years in this building, it's unacceptable.
I do like the fact, though, that Chris Del Conte and Tom Herman's got, you know, he's got a pulse on this also, making this happen. I like the fact they're making changes. You mentioned Bevo Boulevard doing things pregame. I think now that the students will be in one section together where they can make noise and be a factor, let's see if that changes things. So I like at least the fact this is an athletic department now that's receptive to the fact that, hey, this isn't a great home field advantage. Let's see what we can do to change that.
Yeah, we were rewarding the visiting fans by letting them sit on the first deck Yeah. Right in one of the end zones. Get the hell out of here.
Go to a road game and see where Texas fans sit for road games.
Yeah, up in the corner. It's the way it should be for any road team that comes to town.
Unless you're going to Waco and Baylor's not that good, then it's burnt orange kind of all over the place.
If you're just going to Kansas, you can pick your seat.
Yeah.
Less people
nobody's fighting you for premium seating at Memorial Stadium in Lawrence.
I'll tell you what, people are on board with most of what Chris Del Conte, I call him Chris Del Gandhi, is doing so far since he's taken over. Perhaps a glimpse. I don't know if this is going to be this year, Jeff. I don't know if this is ever going to happen. This could just be a tease from the athletic director at the University of Texas. So it was a big deal when the Atlanta Falcons last year, going into their new stadium, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they announced concession prices would be pretty much an all-time low for stadium concessions. I mean, you're only paying a couple of bucks for a beer, a couple of bucks for a hot dog.
And Mercedes-Benz Stadium, BK is a fast food guy, you'll like this. It might be the only place on the planet where you can get Chick-fil-A on a Sunday.
Oh, they serve it on a Sunday there? I wasn't sure what the bit was because when they announced they were having Chick-fil-A, I figured, well, Falcons fans are screwed.
No,
you're not
man.
Getting any Chick-fil-A on game day there.
Chick-fil-A on a Sunday, man.
Love it. Oh, man, that might be worth the trip right there. But Mississippi State, Darren Revelle of the Four Letter tweeted this out, and Mississippi State has kind of followed what the Atlanta Falcons have done in terms of concession prices. $2 for a soda, $2 for popcorn, $2 for water. $2 for a hot dog, $2 for nachos. It's all reduced prices for the 2018 college football season. And somebody, a guy Sean Jefferson, I'll give him credit on Twitter. He follows me, so definitely give him credit on Twitter. Tweeted that picture to Chris Del Conte and said Del Conte is taking notes, I'm sure. And Del Conte with a little reply saying, keep an eye out. And a couple of emojis that say a winking emoji. Is one of them. And if you read emojis, that means he might have something up his sleeve.
So what we're saying is we're not talking about a blended 6%.
Not a blended 6% increase. Right. Perhaps a blended 6% decrease on the concession prices here.
Let's hope we never hear anything about blended any kind of percent anymore.
You know, Steve Patterson already got fired from
this. Yeah, I saw that.
To the surprise of nobody here. Yeah. That's for sure. Phoenix Coyotes. But that would be awesome. That would be awesome right there if concession prices. That might be another incentive because... Look, I'm an old curmudgeon. I talk about this, Jeff. Like, last year, I only went to one home Texas football game, and I went to the game up in Dallas. I'm the guy that's like, well, at home, in the air conditioning, I don't have to pay $10 for a beer. The bathroom is right there. I can watch a couple other games on the other screens that I have. And there's a lot of Longhorn fans and fans of teams in all sports all over the country who are starting to feel that way. That's definitely an incentive to get more people out to the game if you can lower the concession prices.
And I like the fact Chris Del Conte is trying to be as proactive as possible. ADs are going to have to get ahead of this because the trend is definitely going to where people don't want to. I mean, people don't want to go. Like you said, by the time you get your tickets, you pay for parking.
Yeah.
You walk into the stadium, depending on where your seats are, that could be a significant hike if you want to bring family to the game. It's really, really tough for a family outing at a college football game and an NFL game. Forget about it, even for a preseason game. So, yeah, I mean, the more incentives you can give people to actually show up, the better.
No doubt. So we'll see if that actually happens.
In Texas, is it really going to hurt your bottom line that much if you're charging, $4 less for a beer?
No.
You might actually sell more beer.
I can't imagine it does.
Yeah.
People will argue, but I can't imagine it does. Right. You're right. They might sell more food and more beer. Yeah. People are turned away by the fact that it's $10. And if you go through the student section after each game, you'll see plenty of flasks in there. And maybe people will stop bringing those and stop cheating the system. So we'll see. We'll see if that actually happens. But we're on a mission to make DKR great again. 26-22 home record for the Longhorns over the last 8 years. That is unacceptable. And hey, maybe I've been part of the problem. Maybe I just need to move away from Austin. They've just been bad since I've been here. So maybe part of that's my
fault. I think
it's
since I started covering the team, man. Since our site, when I moved from recruiting to team coverage, and we launched the site. Like, we launched the site in August of 2010.
Right before the first 5-7. We thought that was the only 5-7 season.
Back when preseason conversations were much different than they are right now.
No doubt. We're talking about 7 or 8.
Gosh, only 9
10
wins.
Or 11 or 12.
Only 9 wins. How are they going to break through?
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. All right, we are taking a break. Send us your thoughts. What can we do? What can Chris Del Conte do? What can be done to make DKR great again? Got to get some shirts. Got to get some hats maybe going for the first home game of the year against Tulsa. on September 8th. But we are 50 days away from Texas and Maryland.
Throw out those little plastic footballs, BK. People go nuts for those things.
People like those things.
Dude, I don't know, man. I was at the Astros game the other night, and like, I'm still amazed that people go ballistic for like the cheap, like, you know, $5 T-shirt.
Any giveaway, man. When we give stuff away on the radio show, it could be a little behind-the-scenes secrets here. It could be like a value of $3, something you can go pick up at a 7-Eleven, no problem. But because it's like a giveaway and you're getting it from somebody else for free, then people call by the masses.
At Minute Maid Park, I watched 10,000 normal, law-abiding American citizens turn into complete savages for rubber baseballs.
Yeah, rubber baseballs, they toss
that
the
shirt in there.
That you
can go buy for like $2 at the souvenir shop.
I don't get it. All right, we're taking a break. Coming up next, we got to talk about our brows a little bit. We will talk to Matt Stepp of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. He's been all over the Art Briles story. Apparently, he is back in the coaching game at a high school in Waco. I'll talk about what that means and just, God, what is in the water in Waco, Texas? I don't even know anymore. It's been a mess for a long time, and that it appears to continue with his hiring at Waco High. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. We'll continue the Texas football conversation as well. It's a Friday edition of the Midday Program. Jeff Howe in for Trey today. It's Midday with Trey and BK. This is the Welcome back to the Midday Program, a Friday edition of the show. Jeff Howe, Horns 24-7, filling in for Trey today. I am BK Wags, of course, across the glass, making things happen back there. Specs text line, 337-3776. I got to check that. I always give out the number and never check it. So at some point, I'll look at what you have to say, mainly because I care about your French fry suggestions. On National French Fry Day, I'm going to go somewhere for lunch, somewhere with good fries, so I'll take whatever suggestions you have when we get off the air at 1 o'clock. But because it is National French Fry Day, Jeff, you requested this a little bit earlier. Of course, it's a movie reference, so I have no idea what it means. So I will let you introduce what we're about to listen to.
Yeah, this is from Sling Blade, the Billy Bob Thornton classic.
Oh, okay. Well done right there.
Needs that's no other introduction,
I probably could have said that myself. All right. Well, here we go, Wags.
The French fries are pretty good.
French fried potatoes?
Yep, French fries.
How much you want for them?
Well, they're 60 for the medium and 75 for large.
Mm. I reckon I'll have me some of the big ones.
All right, then one large French fries.
So if you haven't seen the movie, he's just staring at the clerk.
Nice.
And that was it.
Hey, Billy Bob Thornton, here's trivia for you guys. I'll give you an over-under. We're doing a little Vegas on Friday. Over-under, 3.5 wives for Billy Bob Thornton. Not at the same time. That would be a real story right there. But over-under, 3.5 marriages for Billy Bob Thornton.
I'm not going to go to the Google machine to help me out here. I'm going to go under.
Wags?
I'm going over because of just all the sex he used to have with Angelina Jolie, and that was some crazy stuff.
Oh, it's way over. He is currently married to a woman named Connie Englund. That is his sixth marriage. And none of them have lasted very long. This is actually coming up on the longest marriage.
So third time's a charm. What is sixth time?
I don't know. They've been married since 2014. But Billy Bob Thornton had a marriage that lasted from 78 to 80, from 86 to 88, from 90 to 92, from 93 to 97. And he was married to Angelina Jolie from 2000 to 2003. They haven't lasted very long.
No.
Six marriages for Billy Bob Thornton. All right, some interesting news that broke this morning and hasn't really been confirmed. We might get more of a behind-the-scenes look from Matt Stepp of Dave Campbell's Texas Football coming up in our next segment, Jeff. I actually saw this on Twitter for the first time by a guy named Kyler Cross, who gave credit to a guy named Jake Blum, and these guys look like Joe Schmoes. These aren't reporters or anything like that, just dudes who follow Baylor football and guys who live in Waco. And the tweet says, according to sources, Art Briles is finalizing Spelled finalizing wrong. That's how you know it's legit. Finalizing a contract to become the next head coach of Waco High football team. And it's starting to sound like there's more and more rumors and rumblings. At first, I kind of took this as this has to be a joke, right? We're talking about Art Briles. And it's in Waco, of course, where everything went down at Baylor. But more and more rumors and rumblings out there, it's starting to sound like this is true. Jeff.
We're going to have Matt Stepp on from Dave Campbell's Texas Football. And, you know, I've known Matt for many, many years, one of my best friends in the business. And I saw him tweet out kind of a hint, you know. And if you want to stay up to date, like, Matt is like the Woj of Texas high school football coaching news. And he tweeted, he's like, hey, if what I'm hearing about the Waco High job is true, you know, it's very interesting to say the least, something to that effect.
Okay.
And I kind of brushed it off like, oh, I'm thinking like maybe Jack Welch from Copper's Cove, the longtime Copper's Cove coach, maybe he's getting back in it at Waco High or something to that effect. But no, I call Matt this morning and because it breaks yesterday afternoon that, you know, it is Art Briles is apparently in the mix, and they were talking about it in Waco yesterday afternoon. And so I called Matt this morning, and we'll get him on. But yeah, I don't know how far down the road this is, but there is definitely smoke to Art Briles potentially being the next head football coach at Waco High.
Bucky said this morning, if it is going to happen, which it shouldn't, and I'm generally for people getting second chances in life, but when you're responsible for what happened at Baylor under the watch of Art Briles, and we know that it wasn't just a football problem that happened at Baylor. It was a whole Board of Regents, Chancellor. I mean, it was a university-wide issue, all these sexual assaults that were happening at Baylor University. But with all the baggage that that guy brings to the table, he doesn't deserve a second chance.
You're not saying Art Briles can't hold a job anywhere in any position in the country for the rest of his life. But when you do what he did, you lose the privilege of being able to be a leader and molder of young men.
And I would say we saw
that should be the way it works.
Agree, 100%. And we saw what? He was hired by, was it June Jones up in the Canadian
for
Football
about
League?
5 minutes.
And then the media outrage skyrocketed, and it didn't happen, as you mentioned. So I'm curious if that would be the case in a situation like this. But the only thing that makes me think, no, it'll be fine, is because it's in Waco. And you still have crazies in Waco who will defend Art Briles and think he's innocent of any wrongdoing.
I'm telling you, man, once you break into that Bruce Valetti triangle and you're going up 35, just weird, inexplicable stuff happens, man.
They got health camp. That's the one good thing they got in Waco. They got health camp. Can we get that place out of Waco so there's no reason to go there anymore?
I'm a fan of George's. You know, George's.
I don't know if I've been to George's.
Go get a chicken fried steak over there.
Oh, I like me some chicken fried steak. All right.
But other than that, I mean, usually the only time I see Waco is when I'm driving through it.
That's the best thing to do, right? If there was a way around Waco to go from Dallas to Austin or vice versa up 35.
That nice toll road, like you got 130. If you had that, extend that thing just north of Waco, like make it run all the way to like, Belmead, just north of Belmead.
That would be nice. Yeah. But yeah, we'll talk to Matt Stepp in our next segment, but it seems like this could be happening. And if Art Briles is going to be hired anywhere, just keep him in Waco. Don't let him outside of that bubble. Just keep that guy there away from everybody else.
BK, the thing is, I'm surprised this hasn't happened sooner because, look, man, as long as they're still keeping score on Friday nights and Saturday afternoons, there will be an athletic director or an administrator out there that looks past everything, all the baggage Art Briles has, and realize, you know what? Man, this guy does win a lot of football games.
Great coach.
We haven't won a lot around here.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take the chance.
You're right. I'm with you. I think at some point, and I've said
this. And
I'm
not saying that's right, but nobody should take that as I'm saying that's right. I'm just saying, as long as they're keeping score, somebody somewhere will try to justify why hiring Art Briles is a good thing.
Oh, you and I are on the same page, 100%. I think at some point Art Briles will be coaching major Division I college football again. The only thing that perhaps scares me is, and we were talking about this during the break, Briles is 62.
Yeah.
So it might take a couple of years at the high school level, but I'm telling you, at some point Art Briles is going to get an opportunity. As you mentioned, someone's going to look behind all of this stuff. And it's way more than just stuff, but it'll be just lumped in as stuff, and someone's going to give Art Briles another chance.
If you want to play conspiracy theorist and connect the dots, Art Briles gets this Waco High job to kind of get himself back in the game. Ian McCall, who's now the athletic, which, by the way, how that guy got hired somewhere else, I don't know.
Incredible.
But Ian McCall is now the AD at Liberty, which I think they're this year making the full transition back to FBS from FCS.
They beat Baylor last year.
Yeah. is it not a coincidence that just as this Waco High stuff is popping up, we've had Ian McCall defend Art Briles in depositions and all that stuff has come out? So might that make it easier for Ian McCall to maybe at some point hire Art Briles at Liberty?
You're onto something here.
Which could be, as you said, BK, Art Briles way back into big-time college football. But like you said with the Waco High thing, if there's an AD in the country that's going to gamble on hiring Art Briles, it's probably Ian McCall.
You're right. At some point, I mean, we saw it with Bobby Petrino. He got hired by Arkansas State, and what happened to Bobby Petrino was way less.
1/23 of
exactly.
The just filthiness and disgusting thing that this was.
I can't believe that Art Briles appears to be getting a second chance at Waco High.
We'll see, man. Matt Stepp will have answers for
us. Yeah, we'll take a break right now, and we will phone out to Matt Stepp of Dave Campbell's Texas High School Football. He does yeoman's work. Jeff just called him the Woj of Texas High School football.
Man.
You got to love that. We're getting close to high school football, of course, returning to Central Texas and all over the great country of the U.S. of A. But Matt Stepp will join us. We will get the latest insider info on Art Briles. Is he returning to the high school coaching ranks? What a mess. That's coming up next. Plus, why not? We'll ask Matt about some of the Central Texas teams as well. We know he's good for it. That's coming. Midday Show. Jeff Howe in for Trey. You're listening to The Horn.